What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Visa. With the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second, Visa's been bringing innovations to the way we pay for over 60 years. Imagine a world where, instead of just tapping to pay with your Visa, you had to wait for everyone in front of you to cut a check everywhere you went. Imagine how much fun it'd be trying to track down your cousin in Milwaukee for league dues. That's why Visa's vision is to be the best way to pay and be paid everywhere so you won't have to. Whatever your goals are, Visa makes paying fast and easy. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Hey y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with the NFL. All right, yesterday, Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson answered a more important question than whether he's on the same level as reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes.
What's that?
Watson versus Mahomes is the equivalent of arguing Batman versus Superman. They're both super friends with different powers and strengths. You can't go wrong with either one. No, yesterday's Texans-Chiefs clash was about something bigger than a duel between the third-year quarterback selected behind Mitchell Trubisky. What Watson proved in Houston's 31-24 victory at Arrowhead Stadium is that he is leading the best team in the AFC.
Oh.
And yes, I'm well aware Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the undefeated New England Patriots still reside in the American Football Conference. It's the job of this show to keep you ahead of the conversation.
Yeah.
Last year, after one game, Marcellus started the Patrick Mahomes MVP campaign. For the past month, I've been telling you Kansas City's offense isn't good enough to overcome its terrible defense. Now I'm telling you Watson is the quarterbacking the best team in the AFC. The Texans are 4-2. Their two losses are to the Saints and the Panthers, two of the best defensive teams in the NFC. Drew Brees and the Saints needed a 58-yard field goal to beat the Texans inside the Superdome in week one. The Saints are arguably the best team in the entire National Football League. Houston is the best team in the AFC. The Texans are potent on both sides of the ball. J.J. Watt isn't what he used to be, but he's still a disruptor who requires a double team. Houston's defense is middle of the pack in terms of points and yards allowed. That's good enough because Watson and Houston's offense have elevated to the next level. At the time, Texans coach Bill O'Brien looked desperate and foolish, giving up two first-round picks for Dolphins left tackle Laremy Tunsil. A week before the season, he did that. It was a win-now move, a Hail Mary thrown by a coach trying to save his job. It worked. The knock on Watson had been that he held the ball and took too many sacks. He was sacked a league-leading 62 times in 2018. Sunday marked the second straight week Watson wasn't sacked. It's a combination of improved offensive line play and Watson's pre-snap brilliance. Right now, it's a mistake to blitz Deshaun Watson. He's playing the game between his ears the way Peyton Manning used to. Watson might as well shout, "Omaha, Omaha," before each snap. Every time the Chiefs blitzed on Sunday, Watson had an answer in 1.5 seconds. The ball was out of his hands to a receiver. That's his equalizer to Mahomes' ridiculous arm talent. Watson is the smartest quarterback in football right now. He's the perfect quarterback to take on Bill Belichick's defense. I'll take Watson in that matchup. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analysts LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Am I crazy for thinking the Texans are the best team in the AFC?
Yeah, you know you're crazy. I mean, it's just, I don't even know why we do this. Do we really get so bored with success that we just can't give people their props, keep the crown on the Patriots like it belongs?
They ain't beat nobody.
Oh, ooh, Woosah. They've won three of the last five Super Bowls. and was in another one with the best coach and the best quarterback all time with an all-time defense this year and haven't lost a game. They haven't beat anybody? You can't take them out of their position, their pole position, until you defeat that team. And there's no team that has shown up consistently to say that we're ready for a Bill Belichick-led team in the playoffs. I was just watching some old tape of the Buffalo Bills and their pursuit to 4 Super Bowls. And people remember Belichick was on the Giants squad, defensive coordinator. And I remember hearing Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas talk about that K-gun offense that was unstoppable until they saw Belichick. And he came out with a 2-4 defense. And they were like, what the hell is that? Didn't know what to do with it. Belichick always has a wrinkle that others don't know what to do with it. Sean McVay found out the hard way last year. 3 points in the Super Bowl. So just remember, when you see Belichick when it counts, Sean McVay, and when you see Belichick when it counts, things are different. So no, until you beat them, you're not the best.
Yeah, I agree. I got to keep the sentiments of Marcellus going. No, they have not done something of significant value to say that they are the best team in the AFC. Maybe it is.
Let me stop you for one moment.
Go ahead.
This is a prediction. Cool. I'm talking about what's going to happen at the end of the season as it progresses. I'm not talking about what they've proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, because they can't do it to the postseason.
I'm with you.
It's a prediction.
I felt the same way about Mike Tyson right before he lost to Buster Douglas. I would have never – so I'll say to you, maybe it's possible, but as it stands right now, there would have been no way I would have picked Buster Douglas to beat Mike Tyson. Mm. Right now, to me, New England is still Mike Tyson. They don't have a Robin Givens, as I can see, so everything is straight for them right now in terms of operationally speaking. I really don't see any weak points in this New England team.
I love his analogy, but I'm going to tell you where he's wrong. Uh-oh. I love you or not.
Thank you.
Houston's not Buster Douglas. They're Evander Holyfield.
Mm. Go ahead. I kind of like that. Mm. And I like that because I like the way the Houston Texans are trending. I'm not saying they're the better team now, but I think they will be the better team by the end of the season. When you look at what the Houston Texans have been able to do, look, I gave Bill O'Brien a lot of heat for making these trades before the season. He gets Laremy Tunsil, short up the offensive line. He got 2 running backs, Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson. Now they have balance in the backfield so they can run the ball. He also added Kenny Stills, who gives them a 3rd wide receiver.
Yeah.
So when you look at their offense, they can do everything. Then on the defense side of the ball, Romeo Crennel is still fiddling around with this defense, but look, they play man-to-man, which is going to be an albatross for the New England Patriots because their guys can't get away from sticky man coverage. I like how they're building it. The Houston Texans are going to be a problem, and the quarterback is the MVP of the league because he is playing lights out right now.
I just think that's out of bounds, man.
Man, come
go,
on.
Go, use your...
I mean, just the crystal ball that you guys are looking at is hazy at best because you can't predict that they're going to continue to grow and the Patriots won't continue to grow. Patriots are known notoriously to be slow starters. This year, they're not. So you now can't forget that this team could still improve off of a great start, a perfect start. They haven't shown weaknesses to the point of losing yet. Understand their strength of schedule is not the best, but they're beating their opponents. And they're doing it at a mark that they're not used to doing. So when they grow on top of having an all-time defense, not a good defense, not a great defense, an all-time defense giving up only 8 points a game, what is Deshaun Watson and that offense going to do when they see that?
Tom Brady, he declines at the end of the season. When we see at the end of the regular season, December, January, where it gets cold, you know how it is. When you're old, it gets cold. Mm-hmm. You just don't get as loose. It's a little different.
Yeah.
So in a battle of quarterbacks, I think that has to go to Deshaun Watson.
I am so
then you're talking
sick
about
and tired of people saying that Tom Brady declines at the end of the season.
Well, he does.
They
he
still does. Win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They still win. And here's the reality of that. Whether he declines or not, wherever those levels need to even out and balance out what the Patriots are, it happens. And that is a part of having a team, not just a player or a
they got a
competitor.
A team over in Houston.
They
got a complete team. I'm just
but listen. when have they won the big game?
I get it.
I can't. Yeah. You can't sit there and you call him Evander Holyfield. How many big fights was Evander in before he fought
Evander
Mike Tyson?
Was somebody
okay,
before
but
that.
Listen, with all of the great champions, Mike Tyson, you hear about their rise. Oh my God, there's this young guy coming. And that's all I'm saying about Houston. And they're coming right now. And again, I jumped on their bandwagon last year, and they let me down because I was too premature. This year, I'm not.
But what makes you feel that? Where's the dominance? I don't see the dominance of this team.
Mm. You get to my very next point. Mm. I don't think you watched every snap of that game yesterday. I was literally forced to because my Sunday ticket streaming service was out. It was the only game I could watch.
Pay your bills.
No. It went out of money.
My streamer was working.
That should have been a blowout.
Oh,
Deshaun Watson dropped dimes on William Fuller.
He did.
Should have been virtual touchdowns. Mm. That game was supposed to be a blowout. Mm. And if we had been sitting here and they had won by 17, going into Arrowhead Stadium with the Chiefs desperate, never having lost two in a row at Arrowhead in quite some time, I think the narrative would be different and you would appreciate just how impressive this kid was. They kept trying to blitz this kid, and every time the ball was out on target, first down, move the chains, and I would say, hey, quit blitzing the dude. You're not going to get a rush on him. Drop into coverage and just hope and pray. But if you keep blitzing him, he's going to keep blitzing you.
So Will Fuller's dropping passes in a meaningful game in October. What do you think he's going to do in January?
Thank you.
I'm not saying he's going to do it, but I'm saying this.
Come on, talk about it.
I want to see. This is the heavyweight fight that I want to see. Bill Belichick versus Bill O'Brien in Foxborough in January.
Who's going to win that?
Who's going to win that
one?
Come on, man. All right, we already know who's going to win that one. So let's talk about
why. No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
This kid is different, man. There's a reason why Dabo Sweeney called him Michael Jordan.
Quarterback is different.
This dude is different.
Hey, I love you guys, but this is a team game. And the reason why the Patriots have the most success is simply this. Coaches used to always tell us this. More games in the NFL are lost than won.
Come on,
true.
Come on.
We are not going to beat ourselves. You can say Tom Brady's declining. You can sit there and say we can't get off sticky man coverage.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
We ain't going to lose this game. We ain't going to have Will Fuller doing that. So if you can't beat us, we certainly not going to beat ourselves.
And that's where I think they can because J.J. Watt, again, not the same as defensive player of the year, but still requires a double team, still a disruptive force. Mm. They can play enough defense. And this kid with these receivers, they got nice tight ends. Great play calling, I thought yesterday. He can beat you with his legs. He doesn't try to force you with his legs. This kid's different between the ears.
He's different. We've seen this because I remember, it's funny because, look, I know college is different than the pros, but we heard the same thing. Oh, they can't beat Alabama. They're the big machine. Yeah, yeah. They're the big monster.
Yeah.
Until he slayed the monster.
Yeah, he did.
Somebody has to get slayed. At some point, someone's going to have to slay the Patriots. I'm saying the Houston Texans are going to slay the Giants.
It's not going to be the Houston Texans. And I like the arguments that you guys are giving. But when you look at this New England Patriots team, we're talking about the Chiefs' defense. What about New England's defense? They are boasting one of the best defense. It's better than great. It looks elite.
It is elite.
I just can't look at this New England Patriots
against
team.
Against teams who can't.
And you have New England Patriot disciples. Bill O'Brien was at his best when he was with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Romeo Crennel had a great, great run with the Patriots. They go and they take over this team. I look at them as an extension of that coaching tree and that mentality and that thought process in Houston. But it's still a matter of coming against a team that has proven over and over again, time and time again, and even for now, that they are capable of getting up for those big games. And if the Texans turn out to be a big game, you would be crazy to think that the New England Patriots cannot raise their game and their level to be able to beat the Texans in one game.
Last time we saw the Texans in a big game, last year, playoffs, at home, Colts, 21-7. Mm. Deshaun Watson, who's different between the ears, who is special. Mm. 69 passer rating, 7 points. Come on, y'all. Let's be real about this. It's a big leap. You were on the bandwagon last year prematurely, and because this is so fluid, y'all, this is October 14th, and we're talking about the Texans.
Come on now.
You know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
The Rams.
Oh, yeah.
Who else was up?
Eric Goff, Dak Prescott.
Dissing the 49ers. We sleeping on them. Mm. We crowning the Chiefs. This is so fluid. So I think you're premature on another bandwagon. And, keep riding until the wheels fall off.
I rode it last year. Mm-hmm. I'm riding again because I'm right about this dude. Michael Jordan took his lumps coming up as well.
Bad boy.
Sure that. That's
part of the process. Dabo Sweeney is not wrong about this kid.
No, he's not.
And look, I love Patrick Mahomes. And I think Patrick Mahomes is slightly better than him. But between the years, right now, no one is better than this kid, Deshaun Watson, and that's what you need against Bill Belichick. I think he'll be ready for that moment. And I think in early December, I think they actually play each other, and we'll get a little preview of this. But I think the Houston Texans are the best team in football, in the AFC. Saints are the best team in football.
Hey guys, this is Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save enough money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for the future or visit pacificlife.com.
LeVar Arrington is back with us. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst TJ Houshmandzadeh. Time for a big story presented by Hyundai. Let's move to the L.A. Coliseum where Jared Goff and the Rams got dominated by the 49ers in front of their home crowd. Goff had one of the worst games of his professional career, throwing for just 78 yards. Sean McVay's offense continued to sputter, thanks in large part to a stingy 49ers defense that has San Francisco atop the NFC West at 5-0. After the game, Richard Sherman had a message for all the doubters.
You can't worry about what the experts say. We just hope that they stick, once again, stick to their word. We want them to sound dumb at the end. Like, stick to your guns. If you were calling us pretenders in the beginning, call us pretenders now. Call us pretenders the whole time, because you gotta be that way. You don't get to go hindsight is 2020 with this every year. You know what I mean? Just stick to your words. Stick to your guns.
All right. Did yesterday say more about Jared Goff or the 49ers defense?
Jared Goff and that price tag. Oh, man. $30 million quarterback out there throwing for 78 yards.
Ooh.
Yuck. 54 completion
Dak
percentage.
Laughing at that.
Hey, man. Dak shouldn't be laughing too much because Dak's in the same category as Jared Goff. Since week four, they've had three losses. Think about it. Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, Andy Dalton, and my boy Jared Goff. Since week four, three L's. And it's because of Jared Goff. Look, Sean McVay and Todd Gurley putting a lot of makeup on Jared Goff right now, because when we're seeing him without a running game, without at home, which was not home because that was a 49er crowd in the Coliseum. I'm just disturbed to see that he got that much money and then is going out there and putting up performances like this. And they're starting to domino. It's not like, okay, this is an anomaly. It's starting to domino in terms of, can he be a savior of franchise quarterback, or is he just supported by great resources all
Sam
around?
Sam Bradford.
I do think it's the Niners defense actually more so than Goff. And I think that it's the Niners team buying into this Niners defense. The offense does nothing to put that defense into a bad situation going out there on the field. You watch the way they play. They slowly tighten up the way they play on you as the game goes on. Bosa is always that constant presence coming off of the edge. I mean, he's playing on a high enough level to be in MVP conversation with the way he's having an impact in game. I like the way Bosa is playing, and he's showing up to big games with the way that he's playing. I look at the defense and the way they play together, the offense, looking at the defense as their staple, and it's more so the defense.
Get him, TJ.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a credit to the 49ers defense. And I when you look at the Rams, there's Jared Goff is part of the problem, but you don't throw for 500 yards 1 week and throw for 78 yards the next week, and it's just all your fault. When you look at the 49ers, you look at their defensive line, number two pick, number three pick, number seven pick, number 17th pick, the 23rd pick. What team can throw that out there? They got five defensive linemen that were all first-round picks, and for the most part, they are doing a pretty good job. The worst one is Eric Armstead. DeForest Buckner, and he had a sack yesterday. Yeah. And so when you look at that defense, they're going to be tough to beat. I was early in the season, before the season started, I thought the 49ers would be a surprise team if Garoppolo could stay healthy. They don't have the weapons on offense. Kyle Shanahan gets a lot of credit for what they're doing, but it's this defense that's winning games for them.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something nice about the 49ers defense because it is tremendous. And I think one thing that's a little bit undervalued is Richard Sherman provides an attitude and a confidence for a defense.
Credibility.
I think is, you know, Richard Sherman, again, not to disrespect any of the other guys, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman is the Legion of Boom. And he's taken that
He was the catalyst.
Over to San Francisco.
It was that intensity he brought. He brought that intensity.
They got a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. This defense playing with his chip.
Give him all that credit, and it's great.
But
here we go. You give a guy $34 million a
year
prematurely because the little young coach, hey, this is my Frankenstein, my creation. And it's Frankenstein. Now you got a monster out here, and I was never in on Jared Goff. From the moment we saw him on Hard Knocks to all the way through the Super Bowl, I was never sold on Jared Goff, and he's getting exposed now. He's not a guy you pay 30-some-odd million dollars. He's, again, Sam Bradford, does some nice things, but is he really, really firm in the pocket? And I watch both of these. I watch this game as well, and when I watch Patrick Mahomes, who's worth $30-plus million. When I watch Deshaun Watson, worth $30 million, and then I turn on to see Jared Goff, there's the distance between those guys, the gap between is just enormous. From here and with the arm, I just –
yeah.
Rams got a problem.
They do have a problem. They had a problem yesterday on the money downs. He went 0 for 13 on money downs, third and fourth down. 0 for 13.
You can't
luck up and get one.
When you hitting that quarterback and you're a defense lineman, they panic.
I get it.
Sometimes when he shouldn't panic, he panics.
And that's the problem. That's to Witt's point of, like, you got to be bigger than these circumstances. You got to be greater than, okay, no Todd Gurley this week. Or you got to be bigger than, okay, I went out there against Seattle, should have won that game. But now he's regressed. 7-7 in terms of touchdown interceptions. 80 quarterback rating. Like, everything is just – average at best, and you're talking about a team now that needs him to pull them out of this funk, this rut, and he doesn't look like he has those capabilities right now.
I look at it from the standpoint of when you look at the running game, it's failing. It's failing this Rams team.
Yeah, yeah.
And not having Gurley, trying to figure out what you're going to do. The same thing is taking place in Dallas, all right? Dak is suffering because the run game is giving them no type of relief. So these defenses have now adjusted, and they said, this is what we're going to do to these types of teams with the Goffs and with the Prescotts and all that. We are going to put the game in the hand, in on the arm of these guys. So when you say $30 million arm, even when you say that, this guy has to be able to throw the ball, deliver on third downs, get those completions, get the ratings up, get the yards. If you have no running, as a former, and you were a pass rusher as well, as a former pass rusher, there is nothing better to me than being in a game where I can pin my ears back and say, I'm not worried about no run. I'm coming straight to that quarterback, and I'm giving it everything that I have. And right now, Jared Goff is unfortunately having to deal with being on the side of that end.
My knock on Jared Goff is the thing that people were celebrating early. Oh, Sean McVay talks to him right up until the very last second in his helmet. And so it's like he's a puppet that's controlled from the sidelines. I just watched the Chiefs and the Texans. Those quarterbacks have help on the sidelines, but they're not puppets. They're creative. There's no creativity here with Jared Goff. Deshaun Watson isn't satisfied with Bill O'Brien hooking him up to puppet strings. He's out there helping with his pre-snap reads and how quickly he identifies the blitz and moves the ball on time. I just don't see any of that from Goff. He's controlled by the sidelines. He's an example of Sean McVay's ego being out of control. They've overpaid his creation, and his creation can't function on its own. Let's move to Cleveland, where Russell Wilson and the Seahawks pulled out the win over the struggling Browns yesterday. Cleveland made good on its promise to get Odell Beckham Jr. more involved, with OBJ grabbing 6 catches for 101 yards on 11 targets. But Baker Mayfield threw another 3 interceptions, bringing his total to a league-leading 11. And after the game, Freddie Kitchens was asked if turnovers killed the Browns' momentum.
What do you think? I think it was, yeah. You can't move the ball if you turn the ball over. So simple as that. Execution. Execution. Can't turn the ball over. Do what you're supposed to do. I got to call better plays, okay? But it's execution and turning the ball over.
All right, the Browns are struggling. And so what is their biggest problem right now at 2-4? Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., or Freddie Kitchens?
All right, America, you ready for this? Y'all already knew what it was.
Oh, wow.
Baker Mayfield, man. Since the Cleveland Browns have returned to Cleveland, what was that, 20 years? He has more interceptions than all of the quarterbacks that have been on that roster.
Oh,
there's
wow.
30 of them. And that includes Johnny Manziel, y'all. Think about the turnovers that he's committing and what's the number one statistic in terms of telling you who's going to win or lose a game.
Turnover
differential. So that's what he's doing right now. I met Baker Mayfield 2 years ago with a camera crew. And I was like, oh, he's number one overall pick. He's the Heisman Trophy winner. Of course he's going to document every experience. This summer, based off every time I watch a commercial, he's in it. I know he had a lot of time to do those things. And I understand if he were in a different system, maybe he'd be a different quarterback and he didn't have a young, inexperienced coach. But damn, it all falls on you when you're the quarterback, especially when you talk like you talk and so far walking like you're walking.
Hmm. Y'all want me to go?
Yeah.
I'll go next. There you go. You want to see that? Get a close-up of that there, right there. Boy.
Wow.
You want to go get a little close-up of that there? That's Fred Kitchens, man. And the reason why it's the coach is because it is a lack of development. And I look at guys like Pat Riley and guys that have been able to coach the big personalities with a Phil Jackson with a ton of talent. Sometimes it's not really about doing anything else other than managing the personalities and the talent that is on your team. If you can have success doing that, you can win. We're not seeing that take place here. It's hurting the development. As a matter of fact, it's arrested development for the quarterback, for Mayfield. Mm. And then you look at Odell and you look at Jarvis, they're disappearing. You're not finding the best and helping them bring the best out of themselves. You're actually perpetuating whatever it is that they have personally. I'm Odell Beckham, that's what it represents, and it stops there. I'm Jarvis Landry, it stops there. So on and so forth. And I think that that's a symptom of a lack of credible leadership.
Mm. Freddie Kitchens, it's his problem. I don't even think OBJ should be on the list, to be honest with you.
You haven't seen my list. Go ahead.
I know that. It's coming. When you just look at the, you know, Baker Mayfield is turnover prone. You know that now. That's obvious. Run the ball more. The last few games, Nick Chubb is averaging 5 yards. Why aren't you running the ball more? Put Baker in situations where the reads are really defined. You can't force a ball. You're calling plays, number one, that if he's not comfortable with, those are the plays he's probably having trouble with in practice. He doesn't – don't run those plays. Put him in better situations. Put him in advantageous situations that he can have success. He's not doing that. The balls he threw to Odell yesterday, some of them catches he were making, unreal. Some of those could have been interceptions. Odell saved him. This is Freddie Kitchens. Get a better game plan, a lot more easier to understand. Simplify it. Run the ball more. Run the ball. Mm.
I'm going to surprise no one and say Odell Beckham Jr., and I'm going to just say this. I think that the blame really spreads out real equally. 33% on Baker Mayfield, 33% on Freddie Kitchens, 33.
I'd probably go 70-20-10.
Again, when you go 33 times 3, that's 99. That leaves 1% more. Mm. Odell Beckham Jr., 34% of the blame. He's new to the Cleveland situation. We saw what Cleveland was at the end of last year without OBJ. They didn't need OBJ.
Different head coach.
That's true. But they didn't need a second wide receiver, a second number one wide receiver who makes Jarvis Landry a number two. They didn't need the extra attention, the extra drama, the extra circus that OBJ and all the Super Bowl expectations. If you just leave OBJ out of this and just try to build off of what you did last year, I think Baker's under less pressure. I think the head coach is under less pressure. I think there is no one said, well, we got to get OBJ the ball. Instead of, we got to win this game regardless of how
we do
it.
But he was turning the ball. Baker was turning the ball over last year without OBJ. He was turnover prone last year.
And I think they're also still in the same situation, Whit. I really do. I think if you look at this team and what they were able to accomplish or what they're thinking about with a Baker Mayfield and having Jarvis Landry there, the whole reason why they went so cold so quickly with you was based upon them thinking that this is a super, super talented, competitive team that they put together. They were going to deal with those type of expectations regardless. And I think if they weren't, they might have gone out and got a different coach as opposed to promoting internally.
I don't want my young quarterback who's still, what did he have, 10 starts last year? I can't remember, because didn't they start Tyrod Taylor early on?
Yeah, early on.
And so I don't want my young quarterback dealing with OBJ and Jarvis Landry. And that's not even calling, because I don't even consider Jarvis Landry a problem. But I don't want my young quarterback under that kind of pressure, that there's one guy over here that if we're not making happy, and there have been signs all year that they're trying to make OBJ happy. When Freddie Kitchens started complaining because someone allegedly strangled OBJ on the field, that's all BS.
But that goes back to the coach.
No, it doesn't go. One, this team hasn't won a game at home. And if you talk about not coming out prepared, you could try and put that on Freddie Kitchens. But they are running the ball. Nick Chubb is top five in rushing this year. What he has, like, he's 600 yards after six games. He's on pace for 1,600 yards. Like, okay, you're giving him the rock. Maybe you could give it to him more. He needs to be a 2,000-yard rusher to take the pressure off of Baker Mayfield. But all of this is just to take the pressure off of Baker Mayfield. And I thought Baker Mayfield not arrived, but certainly was more developed than what we're seeing in terms of turnovers. More turnovers since his first start last year than Jameis Winston. We are
and everybody.
Right. We are right. Know what Jameis
and
gonna
he
do.
Threw five yesterday.
And he threw five yesterday. So the point of it is, I think it really comes down to who's the distributor? Who's the one that's distributing the emotions? Who's the leader of the emotions of this team? It was supposed to be Baker Mayfield.
Coach. It's not the coach.
Once OBJ shows up, how point. Can it be Baker?
It gets hijacked in some respects.
That's not fair.
That's why you have to have a leader. You have to have a leadership quality where you're balancing things.
Odell shouldn't have to take the blame for like
because he's going
to
get that wherever he goes.
Because he has a personality,
right?
The blame gets thrown on him. That shouldn't be the case.
He can't throw the ball and catch it.
I agree. Yeah, Tom Brady, Giselle's wife.
Bar Arrington and Bucky Brooks Newton is also back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day.
You know what's coming.
Darnell, take it away.
Yes, sir. Let's move to London, where Kyle Allen led the Panthers to their fourth straight win yesterday. Even before the game. Yes, sir. A report dropped that Cam Newton might not get his job back even when he's healthy. And afterwards, Ron Rivera wouldn't promise that Cam would be the starter again. Mm. Check this out.
I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to speculate on anything until I have to address that. So until then, we're going to stay in the now. We're going to stay in the focus on what we're doing right now. So again, as far as I'm concerned, we're just not going to deal with the question until it's time.
All right, guys, what advice would you give to Cam Newton?
Go out standing on your feet.
Yeah.
Don't take a knee. Don't try to become a martyr. Don't pull the BS Colin Kaepernick pull. Just take it like a man on your feet. If Kyle Allen takes that job from you, don't whine and cry about it. Go to another city. Los Angeles Chargers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, someplace else, and go prove that you're still a great quarterback.
Yes, his success would be his greatest revenge right now. I would seriously tell Cam, prepare to move on. When you hear those statements from your head coach, that means behind closed doors, they're saying worse things, and they're also considering all things, which includes our franchise quarterback may never step on this field again. So it's up to you, Cam, who've been questioned before by this team, by this organization, in terms of leadership and the way that he went about being a leader. Right now is the time for you to show true leadership in whatever role is assigned, because some of this is out of his hands. Let's just be real. Because of the injuries, production and the fact that they win every game with Kyle Allen, they don't win any games with Cam Newton of late, and the injuries keep piling up. So if I'm Cam Newton, I make sure I show the greatest professionalism in my departure, because it looks like the writing's on the wall.
Winners don't leave with their tails tucked between their legs, and they don't leave walking out. They go out with a fight. And if I'm Cam and I'm talking to Cam, if I'm advising Cam, I tell Cam, be a man and go talk to your head coach. You tell your head coach, we have had three winning seasons since you've been the head coach of this team. You know who you've had those winning seasons with? Me. You're not supposed to lose your job based upon an injury. You're supposed to lose your job because somebody better beat you out, or it was time to move on. Neither have been proven just yet. You're saying that it could be Allen. That's fine. But put me back in and see if I can run this team the way that it needs to be ran for us to win games. It could have been just We needed to get into the system, learn how the system of the offense works. Let me run this offense. If I prove I cannot do, I cannot win, and Kyle Allen is the guy, then you gracefully bow out. But other than that, you can't lose your job based off of an injury. No way.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
No way.
Alex Smith show.
No way.
This is unbelievable. Like, I'm over here, like, seething because I can't believe we're trying to give my man's job away. You know who else has been out with an injury and the team has been winning? The New Orleans Saints. Are we having the same conversation with Teddy Bridgewater
not.
Being the starter? Why is that?
Bow out,
so
Drew
look,
Brees.
We have seen.
There is a reason, though.
Why is that?
Because Drew Brees, as last seen on the football field, is not the same level as Cam Newton. You do know that.
Neither is the Carolina Panthers.
Seen on the field.
Drew Brees, last
seen on the football field was in the NFC Championship game.
Did it win?
It should have been in the Super Bowl.
Nah, they didn't win, though. They didn't
Drew
win.
Drew Brees is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I am putting him in the same thing. I'm putting him in the same deal.
As Drew Brees.
Yes, I am. Here's the thing. With Norv Turner, we have seen Cam Newton play at a high level. First eight games last year, 67% completion percentage, passer rating over 100. Until he got whacked and got hurt. We have to give him an opportunity to be the franchise quarterback in the system that was originally set up for him with Christian McCaffrey and all the toys around him to see if he can be that guy. Only then can you move on because he has to fail before you move on.
Eight straight.
A quarterback,
so did Ron Rivera.
A quarterback wins.
So did
is
Ron.
Is that a stat?
Yeah, I know. That's why Ron Rivera won't commit to Cam. Because the Ron Rivera Cam Newton combination lost eight straight. Rivera Kyle Allen has won five.
Same combination that Ron Rivera, hey Cam, I need you.
Gave
I need you a couple years ago.
Season.
Got his extension, got him to the Super Bowl, and all those other things. I think if you're Ron Rivera and Cam Newton has been the franchise quarterback, he deserves the opportunity to have his job back to see if he underperforms in it. You don't give the job. We saw Eli Manning, who was terrible, god-awful, get an opportunity to do it.
You're not winning a Super Bowl with Kyle Allen. Stop it.
But we also go.
You're not going to win a Super Bowl with Kyle Allen.
In this process, look, you talk through actions in the NFL, and the last eight games seen from Cam Newton has told them a lot. I'm not going to say everything, but enough. Politically, you should put Cam on the field to let him live or die what he does in that performance. But we saw eight performances in the same system. This is not his first year in his system. He was in the system before. Mm-hmm. And we see the results. Here's the thing that really is damning to me. It's the injuries. He's not going to be the same player in terms of injuries.
We don't know that.
They're piling up. And you know why they pile up? Because one, when you get older, you're not as pliable. And two, as the doctors say, you in the same spot a little longer because you're not as quick. You're not as fast. You're not reacting the same.
They also made him evolve into the traditional quarterback. Remember, because that was the conversation. When Norv Turner came in, hey, we need to evolve so he can age gracefully at a position. He can't continue to be the guy that he was and be an older quarterback because we don't see those running quarterbacks last a long time. So what does he do? He becomes a pocket passer. And you know what happens? He gets hurt. So at the end of the day, the Carolina Panthers have to make a decision. If Cam Newton goes back in, Cam Newton has to be the guy that he was always asked to be. Run the ball, do all those
things. And do what? He's been doing that since Blinn College, dog. He's been a battle ram since.
You know what? All those schools, they all won. Blinn College, Auburn, Carolina, they all won when he was the running quarterback
that doesn't get hurt and is a running quarterback. Name the aging running quarterback.
How many aging quarterbacks do we see? But you guys are getting lost on Cam.
You cannot get lost on the fact that Ron Rivera is connected to Cam at the hip. And the reason being is Kyle Allen is not the quarterback to make them a Super Bowl competing team.
All he wants to do is get into the playoffs. And did you not watch the video?
They're not a
– did you watch Ron Rivera? Right. That was him disconnecting himself
detaching
from Cam.
Unfortunately for him, he does not have the luxury of disconnecting
himself. Why? He has a new owner.
Because that is the quarterback that has been a part of his only winning seasons as a head coach.
Nah,
so you're saying if I can't win as a head coach with this guy as the starting quarterback, then it's probably time to start having a conversation about moving on from
that,
the coach.
No, the owner that signed that marriage certificate between Rivera and Cam Newton is not the same owner now. So guess what? That's null and void to me. I'm looking at right now immediate results, and I'm seeing a quarterback, regardless how good he is, he's not had a turnover yet, and he hasn't lost a game.
He hasn't had an interception, but he has six giveaways. He's phoned the ball six times.
Interception.
And I just heard you guys talk about Jared Goff. Oh, you know what I'm saying? It was Boy Wonder that was making him do that. Kyle Allen is nothing more than a joystick for the Carolina Panthers in North Turner.
Right.
All he's doing is he's a joystick just running the thing. This offense is all about Christian McCaffrey.
We know that.
Christian McCaffrey is the one. So we're talking about the quarterback and this and that, but you all know, because we all been in playoff games. If we put Kyle Allen out there in the playoffs, the Carolina Panthers are going home.
Forget about it.
Like, that's what it is. At the end of the day, we're trying to win the Super Bowl, right? Lucky, I think that's what we're trying to do, right?
At the end of the day, you're trying to make the playoffs.
First.
Get into the tournament.
So low.
It doesn't matter how
the bar
you get
is so
there.
Low.
That's not
you're
low.
You're trying to win your division first. So
were they in the playoffs last year? And be real. Be real about this, Bucky. Be real about this.
Until he got smacked in Pittsburgh, they were 6-2.
Allow this team to play greater than the sum of its parts. Because Kyle Allen does what, and we don't give that a tangible measurement. Like, you allow everyone else to blossom around you. Man, the defense, listen to these leaders talking about.
You know what happens? This is why guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick and Matt Moore and those guys are able to stay in the league for a while, because they flash for a minute and we're ready
you
to say
they're
hey,
a starter.
These guys.
You think they're a starter?
Look, there's a difference. There's a difference when we're on the practice field.
I'm saying the price
you're
going to get
Campbell
out
of us.
Let's move to the Cowboys, who were stunned yesterday, falling to the lowly Jets 24-22 as Dak Prescott's two-point conversion pass fell at Jason Witten's feet. After a hot start, Dallas has now lost three straight, prompting a lot of questions about Jason Garrett, though Jerry Jones said the losing streak isn't all on the coach, and ESPN's Ed Werder reported that Garrett's job is absolutely not in jeopardy. Question here, is Jerry Jones being too loyal to Jason Garrett?
Oh, not at all. Do not forget, I know Jason Garrett doesn't forget how he got this job. Jerry ain't scared to pull the trigger, as he did with Wade Phillips midseason, to giving Jason Garrett this opportunity. So he knows how he came in, could be the way he goes out. So what I'm seeing from here, Jerry Jones is just being loyal to the circumstances. They're still leading the division. They still can make the playoffs, duh. And he's looking at his team saying, I got to let this bake. Three-game losing streak, obviously no one wants to raise their hand for that. But look at the NFC beyond their division, which they can win because they're leading it. 49ers, Saints, Rams, Packers, Eagles, Vikings, Panthers. Anybody scaring y'all? Anybody?
No.
So, therefore, why should I bail on my team? I bail on my team right now? Leading the division and NFC that scares no one.
I look at this team and I say it's early enough in the year where you don't have to pull the ripcord and panic. And I think that that's what Jerry Jones is subscribing to right now. This has now turned into a more, and it makes him look educated and not giving out all of these different contracts that everybody was thinking he should give. It has now turned into a true evaluation time for Jerry Jones and what he's going to do with the remainder of these parts.
Sure. When the season started, do you think Jerry was like, you know, I'm looking forward to this evaluation time?
No, he wasn't.
He's looking forward to a Super Bowl.
That's correct.
He thought he constructed a Super Bowl team. They're 3-3 and have lost three straight.
But if that's all the way true, he gives Dak Prescott that contract that he's looking for so that Dak can just go ahead and play. There was something there, to me, there's still something there where you're saying, I need to wait and see. And while I won't say them losing these games would change what he's thinking, I still think that it brings a dose of reality to say, we did have to pull back a little bit on giving out all these big contracts to wait and see what our team is going to do, what our coaching staff is going to do moving forward.
The best teams have consistency and stability. I think the Dallas Cowboys are trying to change how they've operated and done business in the past. They're trying to make sure that Jason Garrett gets every opportunity to maximize the talent on this team under his watch.
That's long.
Every opportunity to do it. And so what you want to do is you want to see how this season plays out. So, no, you don't hit the panic button. You let it play out. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Teams evolve and get better. You're still trying to remember. The way the preseason is constructed, you're still trying to figure out your team. You didn't have Zeke during the preseason. You got a newbie as an offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. Let all of these things play out before you make a decision.
And let's be real about it, Whitlock. Last year, they were worse. And they ended up 10-6, and they were in the playoffs. And look, if they had a greater performance by Ezekiel Elliott, they may have advanced in the same playoffs. So, look, you were 3-5 last year and finished 10-6. You're 3-3 right now. Who's panicking?
I'm not saying panic. But I think he's being too loyal to Jason Garrett. He's the longest tenured coach. I think he's number 6 on that list. The 5 guys ahead of him have all won a Super Bowl.
Or been to one.
That's the only way you keep a job.
Yeah. And so
I hear you.
Not Jason Garrett. So I I think he's being a bit too loyal to Jason Garrett. I'm not saying fire him today, but you know, Jerry made some statement, you know, anybody that bets on me firing him in season is going to lose that bet. Well, why does he deserve that kind of security? I mean, my God, 9 years? You've provided him what you believe and a lot of people believe was a roster that's Super Bowl worthy. And again, I go back to, you know, they showed that M bump of us talking about the Saints game. I go back and look at what Sean Payton, what real coaches are doing with their teams, that they lose Drew Brees and this guy's figured out a way to win every damn game, it feels like.
Sean Payton also had three 500 seasons where they were 7-9, 8-8, 8-8, and the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, that's a bad
season
for him.
They went three straight.
Jason Garrett.
I just believe if you're going to do this and you're going to play it out, you have to let Jason Garrett either coach his way out of this. You can't begin to say, hey, we're going to get rid of him. You have to just let and see. Look, if you get to the end of the season and it doesn't play out, then you make that decision. But I think right now, the best thing that Jerry Jones can do is throw his support behind Jason Garrett, let Jason Garrett coach to his fullest, let Jason Garrett get Kellen Moore and those coordinators on the right page and see how this plays out. The Dallas Cowboys certainly have a roster that is worthy of being a contender in the NFC. Right. If they underachieve, then you pull the plug. But I think you have to let it play out.
You got to understand that there's like a tale of two stories in terms of Jason Garrett being the coach and his tenure there. First, you get Tony Romo, who was a great quarterback, franchise quarterback, but then the injuries started to pile up. Then you just get out of nowhere a fourth rounder that becomes your franchise quarterback. And now in his fourth year of development, he's certainly grabbing at being a franchise quarterback in terms of production, if not already justified that. And then you have some issues at the running game and the running position because of Ezekiel Elliott, who's not been the same this year, for whatever you want to say.
They missed their two tackles yesterday.
And missing your two tackles and your injuries, Amari Cooper goes out the game. Like, there's a lot of issues. Say it again.
The Jets.
Yeah, that's bad. I'm going to stop talking. I'm done with mine. I get it.
Hold on. Let's transition into a more fruitful conversation, perhaps. Dak Prescott. They never gave this guy the big contract that we thought was going to come this offseason or early this season. Dak Prescott's fallen off a cliff. He's lost three straight games as well as the Cowboys. Didn't throw a touchdown yesterday. Just lost to the Jets. What should the Cowboys do with Dak Prescott as it relates to his contract the rest of this year?
Yeah, you have to put it on ice in terms of the conversation. It's on ice. We're tired of this roller coaster ride. First 3 weeks, we thought we had to pay you $40 million. Now we think we got to pay you $400. Like, it's just, where do you go with Dak Prescott? You let that go. But it's interesting, they always had in their back pocket the franchise tag. And it's not getting mentioned enough, and I think we're going to lead ourselves to that conversation of, hey, Dak, go out there and do whatever you're going to do, whatever this team's going to do. We support you, and you're not going anywhere. Because the franchise tag, is going to be exercised, at least in conversation, at the end of this season.
The wheels could possibly fall off on this wagon. I think you have to wait. You have to wait and see what's going to take place, because you don't know what the carnage and the aftermath of if an epic collapse were to take place with this team. That's what exists right now. That's glass half empty. If you're looking at it glass half full, then you say, we're going to take the rest of the season and evaluate how he bounces back, how he competes. That's what it's all about. When you're talking about paying
it's
the money, you have to. I don't think it is. I think you have to wait until you get to a point where you can look at the personal assessment of where this guy is, how he fits into your scheme, and into the future of your team. I just don't think you give the deal now. I don't think you do it now.
Man, y'all blow my mind.
Like, what do you mean, y'all?
Why can't we give Dak Prescott his money? We gave Jimmy Garoppolo his money.
Here
after
you go. Justifying bad with worse. Huh?
Five games.
Jared
Goff making.
Jimmy Garoppolo's 5-0.
Well, Dak is not.
You know what? Why don't we just give Kyle Allen $30 million too? Then?
That's it.
If we just gonna give it away,
is that
why
it?
We just give it away?
He never loses a game. I mean, is that it?
Just gonna give it all you doing? Give it away. I'm just saying. So look, Dak Prescott has played enough. They've seen what this has looked like.
That's right.
I don't want to have to bring up those names in the past because I think you played with some of those guys, Quincy Carter and Chad Hutchinson and Drew Henson. It's hard to find
Dak
a quarterback.
Prescott, it doesn't matter.
Hard to find a quarterback.
Though.
Those are guys that started for the Cowboys.
That's
Jerry
true.
Jones had to live through that.
Yeah.
That's why he's ready to give Dak Prescott his money.
At what number? Give him, Bucky.
At what number?
Oh, we got to give him Carson Wentz money.
I say that.
At least.
Yeah, but he doesn't want
at
that.
At least.
He's not going to sign that deal right now.
Oh, that's where we're starting the negotiation.
I know, and that's why he's not signing
that's
it.
That's where we're starting. 32.
Bucky, you can't give this man $32 million.
We have to.
No, you can't.
We have to, because when you look at Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott and Jared Goff, there's no difference between any of those guys. There's no distinguishable differences in performance and production from him and any of those guys.
Let me explain. You have to start it there. Jared Goff's terrible ass has been to a Super Bowl for one, but we'll put that on the side.
Lord.
Look, there were people saying, oh, my God, Jerry and them lost so much money by waiting. Oh, they waited, and now the market's gone here or there. And now it's like, no. They were very smart for waiting because we're seeing what Dak truly is. You pay him in the 20s.
There's no way.
Or you tell
I'm walking
him,
out.
Yeah, I'm not with you.
I'm walking out.
I'm walking out.
I'm going to walk down Pico. There's no way.
I sure
there's no way.
Let me tell you one thing I don't do. This crazy dude is talking about franchise tag.
No,
way in hell I'm franchising
that. That's actually. Let him walk.
One, you was about to call me more than a dude. I heard that. And two, hell yeah, I'm giving a franchise tag to keep that dude sealed.
Let him walk.
I'm not giving him 150 if I don't believe in him.
Let him walk.
Let him walk?
Yeah.
And get who and do what?
Draft somebody.
He is not a losing quarterback. He has never had a losing season.
We've seen that.
You understand? This dude's a winner.
The franchise tag, as much as you think the franchise tag is in the Cowboys' pocket, it's actually in Dak Prescott's pocket. Mm-hmm. Because once he signs the franchise tag, the leverage then goes to him. And also know this, the CBA is going to flip, and it's going to be more money. And that $30 million that we're talking about is going to be a bargain, because when Patrick Mahomes come up, we're talking about $40 million at a minimum.
Let me ask you this. Is Jared Goff overpaid?
Oh, he is, for sure.
Why
but he's already
Dak
paid because he's already paid.
Why overpay Dak? Why repeat the same mistake
you gotta,
the Rams
because,
made?
Because you
Jared
look
Goff
at the cliff
doesn't
notes.
Wear a star. Look he doesn't have a star on his helmet. That has nothing to do with it. But that's where the negotiation has to start.
Look at the cliff notes of what Jerry Jones is trying to build. The segment started off, is he too loyal to Jason Garrett? He is desperately trying to keep this group together to try to win a Super Bowl. That's where it lies,
right.
The truth lies.
And so
they're going
to
pay Dak.
What he may have to
him.
Do is say, I got the wrong head coach, and there's only so much money I can pay this quarterback. And right now, it's in the 20s.
Oh, there's no way.
You know what's
no
crazy
way.
About
it
this?
There's
what's
no
getting
way.
Lost is that Dak Prescott is a better passer this year than he's ever been in his career.
Yes.
What's getting lost is his completion percentage is the highest it's ever been. What's getting lost is he's not having the same support, whether by injury or by production, that he's used to having offensively, but he's taking all the blame.
That Jet defense was ahead
He's not taking
of
all the blame.
He's
the,
taking bully.
Dallas's defense has been a disappointment.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get you that.
Jason Garrett should be fired. He ain't taking all the blame. Right now, we're just in a contract negotiation. And look, when it was going well, I was, hey, pain. Now that the truth has come out.
Why are we saying that this is the
because
truth, though?
Because
how is this the
toughened
truth?
Toughened up, and now we get to see. And I'm just sorry.
Three
the
in a row.
His guy limped off the field. Amari Cooper limped off. Both Thank offensive you. Tackles are out.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm just
you
saying.
You know, Deshaun Watson lost his right tackle yesterday.
Okay.
In the game, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, he did.
And he went to Arrowhead and won.
Deshaun Watson was also drafted in the first round, right?
Ooh.
So we're asking to pay him elite quarterback money, though.
But we came in thinking that Deshaun Watson was a dude.
Yeah, I know,
we
but you want to pay Dak like he's Deshaun. Person.
No, I want to pay him like the market bears that he deserves to be paid. If Derek Carr and Matthew Stafford and Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins are all getting 28, I for sure am not taking that haircut for those guys. Absolutely not. Dak Prescott needs to be paid in the mid-30s.
TJ Husmanzada and Bucky Brooks are back. Let's move to Cleveland, where Russell Wilson has the Seahawks off to a 5-1 start after another stellar performance and a comeback win over the Cleveland Browns. But Wilson isn't the only quarterback carrying his team to a great start this year. Deshaun Watson helped pull off a huge win over the Chiefs in Kansas City yesterday and has Houston atop the AFC South at 4-2. Both of these guys are putting themselves in the early MVP running with pretty comparable numbers through the first 6 weeks, though Wilson is just edging out Watson in most major categories. All right, the question is, who is going to win the MVP? Not just based on now, but who is going to win the MVP? Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson if you had to bet today?
Same one who's leading it right now, Russell Wilson. Like, that gap right there is all you need. Last year, we saw Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees, and we saw that same gap, and we were like, oh, but let's go with the story of Drew Brees. He's never won and tried to go there, and it wasn't enough to close that gap. And I don't think Deshaun Watson, despite his greatness, there's going to be enough story to close this gap as well, because certainly by the numbers, Russell Wilson – only the fourth quarterback in history to go out there in the first six games, 100-plus quarterback rating. No interception. Zero. He plays the game in such a cerebral way. He's so smart. Stays within his skin and stays out of harm's way. This one, if it just stays pat, I don't see how Deshaun Watson closes this gap.
Well, if Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, if they do what the Whitlock said, it's easy. Deshaun Watson's going to win it. Russell Wilson is leading the race right now. He has yet to play San Francisco. When you play that team and that defense, and if he can do what he's doing
twice
to San Francisco, what he's done to the league thus far, you got to go with Russell Wilson. But if Deshaun Watson has more to work with, if you say
yes, definitely.
DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, you pick those top three receivers, you're going to probably go all three of the Houston receivers. So Deshaun Watson has more to work with. And if they play how you think they're going to play, it's a no-brainer. Deshaun Watson's going to win it.
And they just lost their tight end.
Yeah. I know, this is different. Like, look, if this was normally where it's most outstanding player, it'd be Russell Wilson based on what he's done. Most valuable player is going to be Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's value to the Texans, his ability to get them over the top. We talked about it in an earlier block. We expect the Texans to be right there with the Patriots at the end and to topple them. If his team is playing at the level where they emerge as the heavyweight in the AFC, Deshaun Watson's going to win the award.
Well, the votes are in before the playoffs, so who knows how it ends in the playoffs.
But it's that regular
season.
Game.
They're going to play the Patriots.
Patriots, right.
That could swing some votes.
All-time defense
and
there.
So, yeah, playing an all-time defense. And look, Russell Wilson, as TJ pointed, he's got to play San Francisco in that defense twice. I think Russell Wilson's going to win it. And the reason why is –
there you go.
He needs it for his resume. And so people are into story. Damn it, Russell Wilson's having this incredible season. Let's give him the MVP. He may not be in position again. Deshaun Watson's a young guy. However, having said, if it doesn't go well against San Francisco, if they don't win their division, I see a path for Deshaun Watson because I think people are just catching up to the Deshaun Watson story. Mm-hmm. I think this year, with his comments in the post-game press conferences where he shows his football intellect after every game, I think people are going to catch on to that story.
Dabo told him.
And start really believing, like, this dude is the smartest guy playing quarterback right now.
He's not the smartest. He's just the one that's staying the longest in the press conference. Like, hey, when we do this, that's what they used to do with Peyton Manning. He's the hardest working quarterback. No, he ain't. Because you're the only one that knows his time clock. A lot of other guys are getting in there, too. Not always it's translating story. Results. But that's the problem with this. I ain't play hey, sports we, for I, story. I want to hear about how great you can be.
You didn't vote for MVP.
Hey, did you hear what Russell Wilson
said?
Did you hear what happened yesterday?
What?
Russell Wilson headset went out. He called the entire first drive of that game. He said, I couldn't hear anything, so I just called the plays on the first drive. They went down the field and scored. Cool. So his intellect is
– yeah,
Trust me, I think it's probably – it is on par with Deshaun Watson, but I'm just – in terms of story, and I'm telling you, if you watch this dude – yesterday, in terms of what he did at the line of scrimmage, it was Peyton Manning-esque. I watch a lot of football. A lot of times I don't see Tom Brady doing all that, and he does. I'm sure he does. I'm not trying to denigrate it. I'm certainly not trying to denigrate Patrick Mahomes or anybody. But for a young kid, I just think his story is going to get better and better. He can do things with his legs. He has everything on the table for him, but he utilizes those parts intelligently rather than some guys that just lean into their running ability, some guys lean into their throwing ability. This dude is using all of his tools very intelligently.
Yes. He's using them all well. Hand the ball off. Carlos Hyde, go get it. Your old team, I know you're fueled. Oh, we kept Patrick Mahomes on the sideline out for 40 minutes? Oh, yeah, that's the way to do it. And this is no shot at Deshaun Watson. This is a marvelous game plan. Indy provided them the week before. But let's not act like that game wasn't – right there in the balance at the end, and Patrick Mahomes could have easily have won that game. We have a different conversation.
They were playing in Kansas City, and Will Fuller was point shaving.
He damn was on a near. Little bit of that.
Damn near.
But don't do this to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has a greater story beyond being the highest paid and being a great quarterback. It's the story of the Legion of Boom and them leaving him and great him story. Being pumped up to say, I could do this all by myself on this mm-hmm. island. Y'all didn't think I could. I'm more than capable.
I mean, I like it, but I still think Deshaun Watson is the guy. I think when you talk about the story, remember, look, Mitchell Trubisky was drafted ahead of Deshaun yeah. Watson yeah. and Pat Mahomes, which is ridiculous when you go back and yep. think about it. And then Pat Mahomes strikes like wildfire, mm-hmm. MVP. We got a chance to see both those guys on the field, and you could compare them to the Super Friends, one being Batman, one being Superman. I think the appreciation for Deshaun Watson's skills, his overall game, and now when you throw in the intellect, I think that could be enough to push him over top if he gets that big win in December over the Patriots.
Will y'all stop? Russell Wilson has – I don't understand why Patrick Mahomes' name's not even in this. We already got bored with that, huh? You know, well, the MVP.
Right now, the one and two got to be these two.
He's struggling.
Two losses struggling. In a row.
Yeah, the team has lost. But at the same –
he's in a discussion. He's just behind those two.
Yeah. I wouldn't go there. He's lost. All right, now we're starting a team. Who are you taking?
Oh, look at that conversation.
It got quiet in the building. And the numbers are not wide enough for you to say, oh, I'm going to go take this guy. They're all comparable. Who are you taking?
Like, I mean.
That's a tough call. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes.
I know who you taking. Bucky, you got Cam, right? Cam Newton?
No, but I thought you wanted to replace Cam. I thought you wanted to replace Patrick Mahomes with Kyle Allen.
Darnell.
That's a good one.
What happened with the Super 6 this weekend, Darnell?
Yeah, no one hit the jackpot, but 34 lucky fans walked away richer this weekend. Make sure you download the Fox Sports Super 6 app. Play for free for a chance to win.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Deshaun Watson. But first, who's your big dummy of the day?
You don't know?
You know!
There you
it's
go.
It's you!
Oh, God.
Did you or did you not tell Cam Newton that if he wanted to get his job back, don't do like Colin Kaepernick and get down on his knees? Yeah. How in the hell you expect him to get his job back then?
We're not touching that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right, let's talk.
Nice advice.
Let's talk some Deshaun Watson.
Act like your brothers don't listen to him.
To a huge win in Kansas City yesterday. I said earlier, Watson reminds me of Peyton Manning. I also said that Watson and Mahomes were like Superman and Batman. All right, Marcellus.
Yeah.
You played against Peyton Manning. Do you see any similarities between Watson and Manning?
Oh, obviously commitment, all in, egoless. Like, you just see how embracing they are in terms of having that star power, having that command, that cerebral capacity, but still inviting all to be their best and to shine. So I see that. Like, Deshaun Watson steps on the field and he doesn't suck the air out the offense. He actually gives life to everyone else. Peyton Manning did the same thing despite having stars all around him.
Deshaun Watson could, as I think about this, could run two 40-yard dashes in the time it took Peyton Manning to run one.
I don't know. Peyton going to lean with that neck. He ain't even got to take a step.
All right. Uncle Jimmy, am I crazy? The Batman, Superman, Peyton Manning analogies. Crazy today. What's your take?
Deshaun Watson is Batman. Because Batman. He ain't no real superhero.
Batman.
He ain't even part of the DC universe. He part of the BS universe, if you ask me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
please.
Go get him.
Look, man, Batman couldn't do nothing on his own. He got to have help from Robin, the commissioner. He need a running back, defense. Hell, Sunday, he even had to have, he had a better coach. See, Batman, in order to win, has to use deception and trickery. I could use another word, but I don't want to get fired if I mess up the word truckery.
Yeah.
Huh? But don't. See, y'all saw him, man. Y'all know Batman got that tool belt.
Mm-hmm.
See, and with that tool belt, he run around out there dropping flags all over the field. You know, I saw him, man. He's got out there, man. He sprayed the DBB gone all around him. You know, he might have been on that bill. No, he might even been on that Bill Belichick mess. Tape some of the Chiefs practices. You know, he's a millionaire. He could have bought them tapes from TMZ.
That ain't the one that.
That ain't how. That
you know,
ain't
now, wait. But you're right about this now. Patrick Mahomes is Superman.
Mm.
Yeah. He's a mild-mannered mulatto through the week. But come Sunday, he becomes the greatest superhero in the game. Hey, he can leap Andy Reid's belly in a single bound. The problem with Patrick Mahomes is the kryptonite. And the kryptonite's on his team. And it's called the Kansas City Chiefs defense.
That is true. I agree with that.
Hey, look, that defense make me weak. So I know damn good well it makes Mahomes weak. That's why he be on the sidelines holding his head like this. Because he got that super hearing and he can hear what's going on in the defensive huddle. He hear them arguing, talking about, it ain't my turn to rush the quarterback. I rushed it last time. And they act like a bunch of damn kids. They be like, Andy, tell Frank to rush the quarterback. He's like, I hate him. Now, why did we even get him from Seattle? Come on, man. Look here, man. Now, Uncle Jimmy been accused of having superpowers in the past. You know, I ain't beyond giving you an hour of that power or even 4 minutes of the damnedest. So I know superpowers when I see them. The only thing Superman had going for him on Sunday was his trusty and faithful cheetah, Reek Reek. And together, they set out to right the wrongs that was perpetrated by Batman and his minions. At the end of the season, I promise you, I guarantee you, we will hear Patrick Mahomes stand up and say, when trouble is near, I am not slow. So it's hip, 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 and away I go.
That's underdog. That ain't Superman. Wrong.
All right, listen.
Same thing.
I've got...
You saying he ain't underdog?
I got Deshaun Watson.
Oh, you got me there.
All right. All-star status at a 70. Yeah, 23 job performance, 7 all-time greatest, 23 character, 17 authenticity, all-star.
I argued higher than that. I argued to the point of a GOAT status, if you can see everything he's doing right now. You got to love him, man.
All them shots you took at Deshaun Watson during the show.
I know, which is amazing
damn,
that I'm
shots.
On the
what
higher end.
What about
the
shots he took this weekend?
What, the Chris Brown concert?
Twitter agrees with me. They got him at an all-star. Yeah.
Hey, married men, stay home for Chris Brown concert.
I got with
we're all tomorrow.